Why would you do that to yourself?
Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, wait. Oh, good. I'm getting a phone call. So this is a great way to start the first show. Hold on 1 second. There you go. Hello?
Meanwhile, I will just continue.
Hey, did you get my message?
Entertain everybody. Fresh smoked fish.
Okay, well, you
got kind of an accent.
Nine, and I'm sorry. I'm right in the middle of something.
I mean, if it's that fresh.
Is 9 o'clock okay?
Probably didn't have time to smoke it, did you?
Okay, great.
I guess it's a question of when the smoking occurs. If the fish was smoked very recently, then...
Tommy!
Here I am. You're going to have fun listening to that back and find out what I was talking about.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds good. That's the first minute. That was a good first minute. I'm very proud of that, but I think that's very good. For those of you who are tuning in, you're listening to Better Bitter Banter with Little Tom Paul, and it's a show. And it's the very first one. And right now, as we speak, Tommy is driving perilously through southeastern Michigan suburbs on poorly constructed wide roads in urban sprawl. Fantastic. I'm sitting at my desk with my computer, guitar in hand, and we're going to...
Electric or acoustic?
It's electric, but, I mean, it kind of picks up. Like, it works, you know? Like, check this out.
Okay.
Better, better banter. Little Tom and Paul. Yeah. Yeah. I'll
very
be recording
nice.
Different things and throwing them on the throwing them onto the podcast later. That's all good.
So I looked at the blog page. I was very impressed. In fact, I did a Google search, and it was the first thing that came up when you searched for Better Bitter Banter.
Was the blog?
That's right. The other things that came up mostly had to do with beer making, which is interesting in and of itself.
how apropos! How fantastically beautiful! That sounds. Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, I set up the blog space. I set up everything that we need to publish the podcast and get it out there. The only throw is like all of these things are these like they're like beads on a necklace, but the podcast itself is the rope that the beads go on. And so
gotcha.
I have no idea if this is even going to work, but we'll figure it out. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Just to fill everybody in, there's a couple little gaps here.
Okay, now I can hear you again.
Now I can't. No, he's, are you back? Can you hear yourself? Well, no, he'll be,
okay.
Should be just no.
I might be back. Am I back? This is the problem with our mobile news unit. Yes, start over.
Yes, that would happen.
Okay, well that's perfectly acceptable. It is bizarre and sad that this would be the worst phone call that we've ever taken with you driving home, and it's also our first podcast. That's really funny.
Right, exactly. So that's okay. We're getting it out of the way, you know, like with some immediacy.
Yes, that's a good thing. It's always a good thing to shoot yourself in the foot at the very beginning of the race. makes the whole thing just so much more interesting.
Right, exactly. If more jockeys were prepared to adopt this sort of gamesmanship, then horse racing would be a lot more fun to watch.
I agree. I absolutely agree. That would be
like started out by tripping, going the wrong way, do stuff. Okay, it's been a couple minutes. Okay, go.
Tommy, did you hear about the new problems in Washington with the definition of torture?
It's only torture if it feels like you're dying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like ripping that toenail off isn't really torture.
No, that's not torture. Slapping somebody, until he cries like a little girl is not torture.
I think we should employ a method that my babysitter used to use for interrogation. Tickle torture.
Tickle
torture
is good. I'm sure I can see CIA agents just, down on their knees next to a tied up, Arabic guy.
Okay, stop.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow. You're speaking in tongues, Tommy. That was fantastic.
It's not easy. The spirit moved me. Oh, that's what it is. It's questions of grammar, really, that are defining how we're.
No, it's amazing.
How we're our place in the world. Was it a dangling participle? Nope.
Our government is literally, literally using semantic arguments to make this now. It's like they're actually sophists. They're actually the first conflict of basic philosophy was Socrates with. Intellectual honesty versus these people are like, as long as I can convince other people I'm right, I'm right. And it's like philosophy 101. Like, I don't understand. It doesn't get any more simple and screwed up than this.
So, like, in like 20 years, our government will be based on a
political. It's like, the political holodeck. Just create whatever reality you want. You don't even have to have somebody like Bush in there who is capable of convincing himself of his own twisted lies. They just make they don't even have to believe what they say anymore. It's fantastic. In solitude and stress, I've been a better lover with your mother. Stars and cheeks, I hate you from the heart. I came, I went, I jarred, I saw you came, went, you. Tommy, how's our podcast feel? Take a look around, man. We're in it.
Ooh.
Mm.
New media.
Velvety.
They put in a new thing on the internet at work, and I can't get to fantasy football, but this is not actually
because
something I can complain about. Or
to do so would expose the fact that you're breaking the rules. Wow, there's so many different ways to think about that.
Exactly.
Basically, you can really relate it back to the whole if you don't have anything to hide, man, what are you worried about? That's not the point. I should have the freedom. I should have the freedom to look at fantasy football and lie to you about it. This is America.
Let me be. Oh, come on.
I'm about to drive into one of the known dead spots.
Oh, good.
And, like, the only thing I can think of to do about this is to kind of hold the cell phone up towards the ceiling of the car, so it looks like I'm really pleased with something. I look at him and go, yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! Our team! Team of individuals. Down with the other geographical area.
Screw people from that place. So you're voting for Ron Paul, I hear.
You what?
You're voting for Ron Paul, I hear.
Where do you hear this from?
I heard it from the internets, man. Everybody's voting for Ron Paul, apparently, according to all the Ron Paul videos that I've been watching today.
Oh, well, if everyone's doing it, then I gotta do it.
I gotta do it. Yeah, I gotta do it, too. This really hot blonde told me to become a Republican so that I could vote for Ron Paul, and I thought, the hot blonde wants me to do it.
They're pretty surprising people are becoming Republicans, Paul.
I know. It's bizarre, man. Like, where did Ron Paul even meet this girl?
You know, one thing that I admire, like, about the really staunch Republicans is that, like, they have to sleep really, really well. Like, it's the opposite of what you think. Because, like, if you totally believe in this stuff, then, like, you have nothing to worry about.
I guess it's true.
There's no guilt.
You see, that's what's really fantastic about conservative Christianity. Because if you believe that when you die you're going to go find Jesus, then you have no problem sending other people's kids into a war zone.
It's the opposite of being like a really staunch Democrat. Like, if you really, really strongly believe in the Democratic Party, like, the stronger you believe, the worse you feel about everything.
Oh, I feel like crap all the time. It's not just. I thought for a while it was because I was Catholic, but no, it's actually. It's because I'm a Democrat. That's a disaster.
Oh, a Catholic Democrat, the worst kind.
Oh yeah, there's nothing worse than the Catholic Democrat. Nope. Nobody likes the Catholic Democrats.
No, not even the Kennedys.
No. The Kennedys hate themselves. That's why they drink so much.
Oh, yeah. I have to have communion several times a day to even things out.
Just to make it through.
He's quite a shock.
I crumbled up my communion and put it in my clam chowder. Wait, no, that's my accent. My accent is terrible. I should refrain from doing that. Why don't you say that? I'll edit that in. I'll edit that back in.
Ted Kennedy has been taken over by a small robot. I crumpled my communion into my clam chowder. It was consecrated chowder.
Consecrated chowder. That's good.
It was New England clam chowder. Not to be confused with that red stuff that's also called clam chowder.
But back to Ron Paul, dude. Like, I just watched this crazy video of the guy. You know, the don't tase me, bro. Like, that guy getting fired. And Ron Paul's like, I'm a defender of the Constitution, and I would never do that to somebody, like, implying that Kerry himself had the man tased, or something, I don't know what. But it's bizarre, since Kerry wasn't running this kind. But anyway, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Ron Paul's the only guy who's against the war. He's the only one who wants to bring the troops home now. And it's like, and you know what, though? They're right. He is the only one who's like, I'll get him out of there tomorrow. Make me president right now in this thing. I've only, you know, he is the only guy who's consistently voted to, like, stop the war, which is really kind of bizarre, considering the fact, you know, it's like, okay, so imagine this guy gets elected, and, like, what happens next? Like, oh, no, I'm not going to fix that bridge. No, I'm going to give myself a pay decrease, yeah. But no, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to shut down all the all the family planning facilities. I'm going to fire every, like, the how many people work in our government? 400, 500,000 people? I'm going to fire all those people, like, and just take it down to, like, where the government's nothing but a police force. It's, like, completely crazy.
You know, on the other hand, he's the only one that doesn't become, like, openly, like, physically aroused at the mention of Reagan.
Oh, no, that is really funny. That is really funny. Reagan. He's the last person we knew that knew anything, or at least appeared to know anything. So of course we have to dive immediately into that shtick.
What would you do about the crisis in Iraq? Well, if you take a bicycle pump, leave it out in the middle of a lake. Thank you.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. Appreciate the metaphor. What else would you do? I sound more. I'm not gonna do the voice because I'm gonna sound more like Kennedy doing Reagan.
You get much closer to a Kennedy there.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'll just pretend. Next time that's what I need to do. And next time I try to be Kennedy, I'll just need to be Reagan. Well, but what he wants to do is, I'll sell arms to the Al Qaeda. And then I will sell arms to the Iraqis. And then I will sell arms to the Kurds and the Shiite
Now he sounds
factions.
Like Carter.
Now he sounds like Carter. Damn it.
No, he is one of the harder ones, too. You know, why don't you do him like Bush 1? Can you do the Bush 1 impression?
Heh. No, wait, that's Bush 2. But, Bush 1 to me, he always sounds like... don't hurt me. I'm a little man. He just was so tiny and bizarre, and he just looked like a twig. You know?
The way I think you're when you think of him, you're either thinking of him now that he's really old, or you're like imagining old political cartoons of him.
I think so. I don't know.
Like taller and more like structurally sound than Clinton.
That's very good. I've never heard of anyone describe Clinton as structurally sound. Clinton, that man is a brick shit house. That man... Clinton is like a weeble wobbler.
That man was engineered properly.
I am the passenger, and I ride through the city backsides. I see the stars come out of the sky. The bright and hollow sky, you know it looks so good tonight.
I've always liked is the sound of a ball peen hammer hitting a head of lettuce.
Really? I think that just kind of sounds swoosh whoosh.
Thunksh.
You took a Foley class, didn't you?
A what?
Foley class?
No. The film program that I was briefly involved in was like an English program, but where you watch movies instead of reading books. There was no production quality at all.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's a good Foley technique, though, what you're describing.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. One of my favorite sounds ever. A ball peen hammer hitting a head of lettuce.
I can actually kind of see you.
If you don't know what that sounds like, and if we can't wrangle that by the time you listen to this, you should go out and do it yourself. But wear protective eyewear.
I can see you. I can see you a la Crispin Glover. Crispin. I'm sorry. Crispin. Crispin Glover.
You were right the first time. Go on.
Yeah, Crispin Glover. Where, you know, your parents see that there's a weird light on in that tiny little miniature house in their backyard, and they go out there, and they open the door, and there you are just squishing. Heads of lettuce. It's like 30 heads of lettuce, and you're just squishing them. And they're like, Tommy, what are you doing? And you turn around like, I'm making my lunch!
A new thing right now. I want to take a random sampling of your house.
Okay.
Okay, so I want you to look around the room right now.
All right.
And pick three random objects.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you like two or three questions about these objects, and from that, I'm going to extrapolate what the inside of your house looks like.
Okay, this is going to be good. All right, random sampling.
Okay, random sampling. So, all right, the three objects, what color are they?
One is black, one is brown, and one is sort of shiny and black and shiny.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
are all the objects made of metal, or how many of them are made of metal?
Precisely one.
Okay, and of all these objects, how many of them did your mother give you?
One.
One.
Okay. One.
So based on that random sampling, I'm going to assume that one-third of where you live is black metal that your mom gave you.
What black metal could mom give me?
The other two-thirds of your house are earth tones and shiny. And that was a random sampling of Paul's house.
Thank you. I have to call mom up and go, you're way behind in your midnight chrome gifts. Where's my Zippo lighters? Where's my Onyx chopping block?
Okay, so now out of curiosity, what were the objects?
Well, one was a record player, which was black.
Yeah.
But made of plastic. One was a stuffed Donkey Kong, which the previous tenant to my apartment, who we will call the Careless Fairy, left for me. And, sorry, the Careless Fairy. I'll tell you a story of why he's the Careless Fairy. And the other one was my exercise bike, because I want our listeners to believe that I'm in good shape. And quite attractive.
And that's not the one your mom gave you, right?
No, the one my mom gave me was actually a conjoined present from my mom and dad, the record player.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the Donkey Kong either. That would have been my first guess. But okay.
No, the Donkey Kong was the Careless Fairy. Donkey Kong, the Careless Fairy did not leave me the exercise bike. but no, I call him a careless fairy because he had broken several things about the apartment. There were lights that were destroyed. There are blinds that are torn up, and the place was dirty as hell. So I came through and I'm like, what a careless fairy. And he also like sponge painted the walls.
Oh, I hate that.
And yeah, bamboo, everything. And everything's very ornate. Sconces. There's not a single like 40 or 60 watt light bulb in the place. There are all these bizarre little reflexive chandelier lights. Everything is chandelier lights with this guy. I don't understand. You know, I'm putting up my Transformers the movie poster, and like it's lit with a chandelier, but not a chandelier. It's lit with like a wall socket chandelier.
Are all the lights in your place like dimmable?
Yes, yes, the whole place is set up for same sex relationships.
Moonlighting.
Seriously, yeah, I've picked it up enough. I've picked it up as much as possible, but yeah.
Oh man,
only so much that I can do with the place, but I do have 11.5 foot ceilings, which I'm looking forward to paying the heating bill for. It's going to be. That's fun.
By like March, you're gonna be like look at like Bob Cratchit wearing the gloves with no fingers.
Please, sir. Please.
Hey, Paul, I was gonna come over. Sure, bring an overcoat.
Bring an overcoat and bring some flour. All I have to serve is soup water. Water soup.
Kids, I got 2 ketchup packets. Party!
Woo! That's right. Now I know why I saved the half of the ramen noodle flavor packet that I didn't really want or need. I got like 35 chicken salt packets saved up over my life.
Just in case you have to OD on sodium one day.
Oh, well, I mean, what I would do is I would just like rub it into bread. And then heat that up on a piece of tin over a flame, and that would be my chicken sandwich.
Here's my question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
How these packets are all like opened and there's still half of them in there. Half of the packets.
I very carefully roll them up from one side.
Why don't you just use the most recent packet on the concurrent ramen, so then you would have an entire packet to squirrel away.
I don't understand.
I'm just saying, instead of opening a new one every time, you could just open one and use that on two or three different ramens, and then you'd have 1 to 2 unopened ones to be placed in your stash.
I need to go.
Okay. I'll talk to you.